So, I can't let this passage go without saying at least a few words about divorce and what it does living in a society where divorce, if not common, is certainly somewhat prevalent. To a congregation, to include myself, that have where some number of us, good number of us, have actually experienced going through divorce and the pain that attends that. My students sometimes say that divorce is too easy, and then I kind of wonder if they've actually been through divorce, because it's not easy. The process of coming to the decision to step against beliefs that one holds dear and a relationship that has given much. It comes with very profound consequence. And so I come to this passage and I hear Jesus' words. And I understand the difference between our society and in the year 2020 as compared to the first century. And I know that there's much different. I know that nowadays divorce can be kind of a no-fault thing. It's just irreconcilable and et cetera. I was a little surprised in Mark's remembering of Jesus speaking about a woman divorcing her husband, because to the best of my knowledge, a woman really didn't have an opportunity to divorce her husband, because in the society of the first century, women were not invested with that kind of power. They were not seen as legal entities. So a man could divorce his wife, but a woman would almost have to abandon her husband, would be the equivalent of the divorce. So she might bring it about by an abandonment. So you get into some legal things, and all that is interesting. I'm not sure, but I think Jesus is talking, and what I want to speak to here is, Jesus is talking about the power and value of relationships and the obligations that we take on for one another. And that whenever we sever relationships where people are entrusted to our care and our loving, if we sever those relationships, it always does harm. It always brings about pain. And to set about that in a way that's fairly cavalier and leaves the partner without the resources necessary to have a life that makes sense is profoundly suspect. So there's this very hard teaching on divorce, and in Mark's gospel, there is no exception to the idea that what God has put together, we should not separate. But Mark also follows the teaching on divorce with a short passage about people bringing their children to see Jesus. The assumption is that these are largely women who are bringing their children to meet Jesus. And at that place, those who are in power, the apostles, by now recognized in the community as having very significant power because they are with Jesus, and they stand up and they try to prevent the parents from bringing their children forward. And Jesus sees that as an abuse of power and steps in and intervenes and says, no, let the children come to me, for to such as these belongs the kingdom of God. And at that point, Jesus takes a child. So while Jesus gives us hard teaching on divorce, because divorce, while not particularly common in the first century, was certainly real in the first century, and it continues to be real in our time, and there's a place where there is always a sense of hurt and violation when divorce happens. But Jesus also speaks that the love of God is great enough to welcome, especially those who are most harmed by the divorce and the brutality that sometimes happens between adults. So those of us who have walked down the road of divorce, knowing the pain of it, it is good to know that Jesus welcomes and affirms us even in the heart of the pain that we receive and that we cause. There's the second reading comes to us today from the second chapter of Genesis. It tells us a good bit more about what God intends in human relationship. So we know that God, then the Lord God said, we begin in verse 18, and then the Lord God said, "It is not good that Adam, that the man, should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." And so out of the ground, God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all of the cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not a helper found as his partner. And so God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And as he slept, he took one of his ribs and he closed up the place with flesh. And the rib that God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man to see what he would name her. And then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones. It is flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man she was taken. And therefore a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his partner, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed." Let us pray. The Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on us. Lord God, that your word may not return empty. Amen. So it's World Communion Sunday, and I didn't look up exactly how many Christian denominations there are in the world today, but I know it numbers in the thousands. That on that Feast of Pentecost, when God worked that all people could hear God's message with the language that they understood, and when God called all people to overcome the differences that had occurred as a result of Babel, when all people were separated into their own communities and nations and kingdoms, that healing up of Babel with the coming of the Spirit and Pentecost and God's desire that we be united and that we be one. How beautiful that message of Pentecost, that we can hear God's word to us in such a way that it addresses us in a way that we can understand and we can participate in community of faith. And I think of, I guess it was about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, that we began having celebrations of congregations within the Presbytery of Olympia that decided to leave the community of the Presbyterian Church USA and bind up, become interwoven with other faith traditions. And I was invited to officiate at the table that day with the first five churches that left. And to celebrate that, even though we are severed and broken, we are still one at the table of the Lord. And that time, for the first time since probably 2 months after my ordination, when breaking the bread, I used the words of institution in the Presbyterian Book of Order at that time. And I said that, and Jesus took the bread and broke it and gave it to his apostles, his friends, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." That prior to that, I hung on very tightly to my understanding from the Gospel of John that when they looked upon Jesus' body on the cross, he was already dead, and so they did not break his bones, and that satisfied a teaching that said that none of his bones would be broken. I held on to that idea of not allowing that brokenness for many years. But on the day when I celebrated at this severe rupture to the Presbytery of Olympia and to the Presbyterian Church USA, which I love, and I know how the Presbyterian Church was part of the Reformation, where people severed themselves from the Roman Catholic tradition. And I understand how that Roman Catholic tradition itself stood in division around history and elements and et cetera. And I became focused then on the brokenness of relationships, of promises made and not kept. And I remember being profoundly in the pain of that moment. And I think that worship service happened in August or September, and then we came together around World Communion Sunday. And I had to fight with myself to open my heart to include those who had decided to leave, to break up, to sever the community that God had formed and that we had vowed to be part of. And I certainly remembered the pain of my own divorce. I remembered the pain of divorces of men and women who have been close to me over the years, as they have gone through these separations that just tear apart and leave big chunks of one another in each other's lives and hearts and being. And I remember the coming to the table that World Communion Sunday and being given by the Spirit of God a place of calmness and being genuinely able to realize that God is bigger than I am. God is bigger than the Presbyterian Church USA. God is bigger than the imaginings and the generosity of Barlow Busher. In God's heart, there is a welcome. And in God's church, there is a unity. And the Lord God, when he created us human beings, you know, prior to this in the scripture and in the passage in Genesis, prior to this, everything that God saw, God proclaimed good. And then he took a look at the human being that he had created. And God's observation was that it is not good that the human being should be alone. And so I will make a helper. That it is not good, God's observation, it's not good that we should be alone. It's not good that we should be alone in our lives. Individuals, the lone wolf is there's this lovely image that so many people in the United States just really want to hold on to and love profoundly, but that's not God's intention. It is not God's intention that we should be alone. It is God's intention that we find one another and that we come together and that we work with one another to take care of the earth that God has entrusted to us. So we come, people, with all of our foibles and our judgments and all of the ways that we choose to find division. And we come to God, and we need to be able to look at those who are newly in a different denomination and say, this is the partner that God has created for me. We need to take a look at those who are across the aisle politically from us and not see someone who is other than us, but see the helper that God has created for us to bring us to another phase where we can look at ourselves more honestly. When I look across borders at people of different hues and with different languages and with different customs and different values, it is not God's intention that I see the other, but that I see that one who can help me to be and to become who God would choose for me to be. When I look across religious traditions, when I look across all those things that I use to divide me from people that God has given to me, and I see the other that is God's intention, that I exclaim, ah, this at last is my other. This is the one that you have created to help me become full as you need me to be. My friends, in God's creation, we are very different. We are old and we are young, and we are black and brown and white. We are every hue and rainbow. We are conservative and we are liberal, and we are and we are and we are. And God made this cauldron of complexity so that we can come to one another. We can learn from one another. We can be taught by one another, and we can become complete through one another. That is what we celebrate as we come to our table this day. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that we're not all alike. Thank you that we're not all in agreement. Thank you that our lives are not easy and that we are oftentimes conflicted. Thank you that sometimes we become so alienated from one another that we want to close our hearts and our minds, because that's when you're working to invite us to come across our judgments and find your peace. Thank you for the table that you have established in our midst, to which you invite each one. May we find the beauty of your creation even this day as we come to the table with all of those who are so very different from us. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.